I give thanks to my God always for you, that you are made rich in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thanksgiving is still a month away, but it is never too early to give thanks. If you think of it, that's one of the four reasons we come to Mass every Sunday. Thanksgiving. Eucharist itself, as in Holy Eucharist, the sacrament and the sacrifice, means just that. It means thanksgiving. Now, today's Mass, with this thanksgiving idea, is actually, they tell us, a later composition. That means that this Mass was composed around the 6th century. But most of our regular Sunday Masses are even more ancient. Think of that, how old our faith and our worship are, going right back to the threshold of the apostles. That should be a cause of thanksgiving for us, to be in the true faith and in the true worship of God. If you are following Mass today in your missal, but remember our richness, you could also pray your rosary or follow the Mass with devotional prayers in a prayer book. But if you're in the Missal today, you will note that today's Mass comes right after the Masses of the Ember Days, although we've already had our Ember Days last month because Easter fell so late. It was Friday Saint Callistus, Pope and Martyr, who established the Ember Days as a quarterly feast of thanksgiving and of that for the harvest, but also for those who bring in the spiritual harvest for the priesthood. You might say the signature practice of the early church was regularly, but especially on the Ember Saturdays and during Lent, to pray all night long at St. Peter's tomb in the Vatican, at the Basilica, praying and watching until dawn. And at the hour of dawn, then the Mass would be offered. Later on, that practice was no longer kept, and the Mass was put to Saturday morning. So they needed a Mass for everyone to assist at on the Sunday. That's how we get today's Mass. But consider what a wonderful thing it is how some traditions in the church never die out. They exist still today, but in a different form. So just last week, we had our all-night adoration. We had the 40 hours devotion. Thanks to you, but especially to the men of the Guard of Honor, I give thanks always to my God for you. We are able to keep up this wonderful practice of adoration. And the idea of watching all night long till dawn, that's the idea of Christ coming in glory. St. Paul talks about that in the epistle. And we must never give up on it, because one of these days, if we watch for our Lord, or if we do not, he will come. In the meantime, we need things upon earth for our life and livelihood and for our souls, for God's glory. The Mass that is read today was borrowed from a more ancient Mass that had been composed once for the dedication of the Church of St. Michael the Archangel in Rome. This reminds me of our own church and our own dedication, and how it was that we got a church through the generosity of someone who was very devoted to St. Michael the Archangel. Here we have this handsome church to come to every Sunday, or even during the week. We have a wonderful school and offices and a hall, and it's all in a very peaceful and park-like setting. And you never see it so then in the wonderful sunny days when you have them, as we had yesterday, of autumn. And I thank God for all of those who work all week long to make and to keep all of this in order and in beauty, matching in some sense the generosity of our original donor, Tom Neese of Syncom. His company headquarters are just right down 747, who gave us our church. That's an unusual grace that we have in our history. Usually, when a group wants to get a church, they have to have fundraisers and bake sales and a building fund committee and all those things that we've done, too, over the years. In the old days, the beautiful churches that the immigrants put up, particularly the Polish in the Midwest, came because poor working families were willing to mortgage their homes so that a beautiful church could be erected to the glory of God. That was the spirit of the church and of Catholics throughout so many centuries. Ever since our church was first given to us, we've been conscious of our blessings, and we've tried in turn to be generous as a token of gratitude with others directly, by that assistance that we sent to the priest who's building that chapel in Idaho to Our Lady of Einsiedeln, Father Kasich, or indirectly by sharing our different church goods that we have in surplus here. And all of this to pay back a little bit what was first given to us. Now, although the era of big benefactors who sort of set us up and kept us going for many, many years seems to be in our past, which is why we have bake sales now and building funds and things like that, nevertheless, their memory ought not to be for us in the past. We should remember them whenever we come to church, to pray for Tom Neese and for his family, to pray for Bernie Brueggemann, for Bavarian, and all of our benefactors of the present and of the past. And resolve by your own regular giving each Sunday to keep the work going and thriving. I think of this today, the building, the donating of churches, because that was one of the great characteristics of one of the saints who's in our church all year round, the middle saint. She's got the candles in front of her today on the epistle side, Saint Hedwig. Look at the statue. What's she holding in her hand? She's holding a church, emblematic of the fact that she built many a church, as well as universities and convents and the sharing of money with the poor. Saint Hedwig, the statue itself, probably came from Poland, and it was one of many statues in the reredos, or the altar wall, of Saint Stanislaus Church in Bay City, Michigan. When the changes came in the 60s, they took all of the statues out of the church, leaving the table of the Novus Ordo with bare, empty niches as a backdrop. And the Freemason, Archbishop Bonini, who wrote the new Mass, saw a picture of that once, and he was so taken with that saying, he said, yes, this is exactly the spirit of my Novus Ordo, that he actually used that picture to illustrate the Novus Ordo for people throughout the world. Well, in the meantime, some of the statues came to us down here in Cincinnati. And the idea in the planning of our original church was, as it were, to make reparation to the saints who had been thrown out of their homes, which is why to this day, when you come in St. Gertrude's Church, you see so many saints here, as well as the pictures of the saints in the hallway. Now look again at St. Hedwig, it's a little bit hard to see because of the flowers today, but underneath her royal robes, you see a nun's habit, the Cistercian habit, black and white. She lived with the Cistercian nuns, where her daughter was abbess. She founded that particular monastery, but she never actually took the nun's vows. She always kept her earthly possessions, unlike many who gave them all away at once, but she did that so that she could continue her works of charity her whole life long. This was how St. Hedwig, enriching others, was herself made rich in Christ Jesus. You could be too. Learning to control our finances is an essential part of growing up. Some never do today, I have the impression. As children, we depended on our parents to take care of all of those things for us. As adults, theoretically, we assumed the responsibility. Our young adults today should remember this question of responsibility. They should be careful about repaying loans and paying their bills, but they should remember their obligation to God and to their church. Our young adults should each one be using their own envelopes. They should be giving conscientiously their tithe at 5% we speak about, regardless of the sometimes stunning sense of all of the things they have to suddenly start paying for themselves. All of this is important, all of these responsibilities, and it's a hard lesson, managing money. It's hard not to confuse, especially with that sudden rush of independence, not to confuse your wants with your needs, because all that does is run up your debt and leave you needy. But it is a better one that should be learned early. We can become rich not by accumulating things, not by buying happiness, but by giving them away. If you're feeling restless, unfulfilled, don't fill your life with stuff. And if you've got nothing else to give away, and your credit cards are maxed out and there's nothing in the bank account, give of yourself. It's not by getting, it is by giving that we find satisfaction and some kind of a real joy in this life. And I pity those selfish souls who have never, ever discovered that. They might be rich, they might be poor, but they've never learned that lesson. Users are always losers. Look, you don't have to be royalty. You don't have to be rolling in bucks, a millionaire. All you have to do is use your money responsibly. You don't have to have a tremendous amount of it either. In order to find happiness, you do have to give thanks to Almighty God. And you do have to give and be giving your whole life long. And why shouldn't you be? Haven't you, in turn, received? And haven't you come to church today to give thanks to this generous God of ours? And aren't you one of those who have been made rich in Christ Jesus? And am I not thanking Almighty God for you today? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.